The following message, The Pursuit of Wisdom, was based on Proverbs chapter 2. This message was delivered on Sunday evening, October 30th, 2022, to Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, by Ken Kiambadi of Grace Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of Grand Rapids, Michigan.
This morning we were in one of the books of the Bible called one of the wisdom books, and this evening we return to wisdom books, a different book this time, the book of Proverbs. There's wisdom in all of the Bible, but there are these books that emphasize this theme of wisdom. We'll be looking at Proverbs chapter 2, so please turn there. Proverbs chapter 2. Going to read the whole chapter, then we will look at this theme of wisdom from this book. Verse 1. My son, if, notice, begins with that, if in verse 1, and then verse 5 has a then. And verse 9, another then. If, then. In those two verses. Well, let's read. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, what? Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. We're seeing a lot of benefits to wisdom. From the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flutters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted. Let's pray. Our Father, as we turn to this theme of wisdom and come to you in prayer, we know we are right the center of your will, that you have promised to us, to those who lack wisdom, that when we ask, you would give And so we pray now that you would give wisdom, even as we look at this passage today. We pray for your teaching. We pray for your Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth and of wisdom. We pray that you will help us to understand, and Lord, that you would make us those who love and seek and pursue the wisdom that you give. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. On January the 24th, 1848, a man by the name James Marshall, who was a carpenter from New Jersey, living in California, was in the American River in the Sacramento Valley. He was building a sawmill. And that morning, as he was digging and looking around, he found something that would change the history of the state of California and much of America as well. That would affect a lot. He found two pieces of metal on the ground. And after he and a colleague of his examined them, lo and behold, sure enough, he had found gold. Gold. And so the news soon spread, and that's what began what's called the California Gold Rush, with thousands of people rushing, even all the way from the East Coast, to find precious gold in California, drawn by this promise of gain and profit from the riches of gold. And so to this day, I found out that the state motto for California is Eureka, which is the Greek for I have found it. And that most likely refers to this fortune, this finding of gold. But our passage this morning, this chapter in Proverbs chapter 2, did I say morning? It's evening. This passage, wherever you read it, morning or evening, it presents us with something far more precious than gold. Something which, if you can say, I have found it, you're truly blessed. You're far more blessed than if you had struck a fortune in that gold rush. You see, in the Bible, wisdom is compared to many precious and wonderful things. And one of the things is precious metals like gold and silver and jewels. In our passage, it's compared to silver in verse 4. If you seek her as silver. But in chapter 3, if you just look there briefly, in chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, says this, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. So, we're turning to this important theme then of wisdom in this chapter. And as I said, there's the way it's structured. You have this if statement there beginning in verse 1, and they continue several of them. In verse 3, again, you see if you do certain things, if you seek, if you cry out, if you seek, verse 4. And then you have those then statements, then you will understand, then this will happen. And what we see expressed there then is both how to pursue wisdom and why to pursue wisdom, but then also we're given some benefits. Then this will be the case. This is what you'll find when you find wisdom. So let's look at the chapter then under three main headings. First of all, we want to see the nature of wisdom here, and then the value. We'll consider the value of wisdom, and then the path to wisdom, the way to gain wisdom. We won't be touching every detail of it. It'd be a broad overview in many ways, but that's it. So let's begin then. The nature of wisdom. What is wisdom? Also, I should say, the way I've arranged it there, it means we will mostly be looking at the first verses last at the end in terms of how to pursue. That's the beginning of the passage. So, nature of wisdom. Now, wisdom has been defined in many different ways, various ways. John Frame defines it this way. Wisdom is the skill of godly living, he says. I also like J.I. Packer's definition. Wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal together with the surest means of attaining it. The power to see and the inclination to choose what's best and highest, and then together with the best means, the surest means of attaining it. I like that definition because it applies to God as well. God is wise. And the first one about godly living, perhaps we might not apply that to God directly. But let me suggest a definition from this chapter, an extended definition from this chapter, and then as we go on with this passage, we'll see elements of it unpacked. Wisdom is the knowledge of what is right, what is good, and what is evil, accompanied by the ability to choose the one and avoid the other, based upon the knowledge and fear of God. It arises from a knowledge of His Word and His world, and it leads to right living that pleases God and is a blessing to oneself and to others in this life and in the life to come. Don't you want that? I want that. The knowledge of what's right and good, what is evil, accompanied with the ability to choose the one, avoid the other, based on the fear and knowledge of God. It comes from His Word, from knowing His Word and His world. It leads to living right in a way that pleases God, that's a blessing to ourselves, to others, for this life and for the next. So under this topic, the nature of wisdom, let's consider first of all the essence of wisdom. The essence of wisdom according to this passage. The dictionary defines essence as the choicest or most essential, most vital part of something, a property of something without which it would not exist or be what it is. And so, what is that? What is the essence of wisdom? What's the center, the core, the heart, the soul, the marrow, the substance of wisdom? Well, according to these, to this passage, look at verse 5 of the chapter. When you have sought and when you have found, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And that is really the essence of wisdom. It's the fear of God, and you see that that's parallel to the knowledge of God. When you have dug and searched for this gold called wisdom, this is what you find. It comprises in the fear of God, the knowledge of God. That's not all that can be said about it, but that's at the heart of it. And Scripture teaches this. The fear of God is a big theme in the Bible. True believers are described as those who fear God. It's the soul of godliness, as John Murray puts it. And we see here that it's also the soul of wisdom. What is the fear of God? It is a felt awareness of who God is, as He has revealed Himself in His greatness and His goodness, and then accompanied with the humble sense of ourselves before Him, making us desire His favor as the best thing and avoid His disapproval as the worst thing, and leading to right living before Him. Or listen to how an author, J.E. Smith, defines it. It says, a fear of God describes that reverential attitude or holy fear which man, when his heart is right, feels towards God. This is not servile fear, but filial fear. Fear of offending the Heavenly Father. It is hatred of evil and warm embracement of all that is holy and noble. One who would advance in knowledge must first be imbued with reverence for the Lord. So that's the fear of God. You don't treat God lightly. And though, you know, His love and His mercy and His tenderness, we also know this is a love and mercy and tenderness of an infinitely fallible, majestic, holy God. And so it is not cheap or light or trite. We know something of the kindness and the severity of God. Romans 11, verse 22. And it comes, that verse in verse 5, it comes from the knowledge of God. Verse 5 says that you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. These two go together, so that if anyone does not fear God, then they don't know Him as He is, right? The fear of God then is the beginning of wisdom. Without this, no wisdom. Whatever else we have, we don't have the ABCs of biblical wisdom. The fear of God. And it's something that the believer, the true Christian, has in a measure. It is part of what distinguishes the saved from the unsaved. One of the blessings of the new covenant is that God will put His fear in our hearts. And so, believer, God has put His fear in your heart, which is the beginning, the essence of wisdom. So that's then our first point under the nature of wisdom. We've seen the essence of wisdom. The second thing is the ethics of wisdom. The ethics of wisdom. We're considering the nature of wisdom. And by this I simply mean that wisdom has moral qualities and effects. You see, in Scripture, wisdom has moral qualities and produces, leads to moral effects. And we see that very clearly in this passage. Sometimes the word for wisdom in Scripture is used for skill, including skill in crafts work. You can see it in Exodus 31, verse 3. Bezalel was gifted with wisdom to build the tabernacle. And it can include the knowledge of facts. 1 Kings 4, 32, 33. Solomon's wisdom included knowing trees and animals and birds. But most often, wisdom has this ethical dimension. Wisdom in the worldly sense can be just an intellectual, mental thing, but not so in Scripture. It's connected with things like uprightness, verse 7, righteousness, verse 9 and verse 20, justice, verse 9, equity, verse 9, goodness, verse 20. So we're seeing that wisdom has this ethical element. Wisdom is obedience to the law of God, and that's why it has this moral quality. We see, for example, in Deuteronomy 4, verse 6, Moses speaking to the people, and he says this to them, "Therefore, be careful to observe them," and he's speaking about the commandments, "for this is your wisdom," he says, "and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.'" And so, as been suggested by some, the Proverbs really is the law of God applied in details of our life. James chapter 3, verse 13, it speaks there about how wisdom is seen in the fruits of good and godly and righteous conduct. Listen to James 3 and verse 13 to 18 and see this moral quality, the ethics of wisdom. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom, the kind of wisdom that has envy and self-seeking and boasting, he says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So you see James there opening up these moral qualities of wisdom. And that's what we see in this passage as well. That if you're truly wise, the way that shows itself, it's in uprightness and righteousness and justice in terms of dealings with other people and goodness. And that is the fruit then of wisdom. So we've seen now the nature of wisdom, first its essence and then its ethics. Let's move to consider secondly the value of wisdom. James Marshall, the man that we began with, apparently did not profit very much from his gold find. A series of misfortunes, which included his being kicked out of this place, this land, by prospectors. He ended up living in a small cabin, and so he did not profit from the gold that he himself had discovered. But those who find wisdom, this gold of Scripture, better than silver and gold, will not fail to profit. In God's economy, wisdom is highly priced, and it will be good for us if we develop a higher esteem and estimate of wisdom. That will make us then seek it as silver, as it says in verse 4. And to show us the value of wisdom, let's consider first of all wisdom's person. Wisdom's person. And here I mean that given that wisdom, as we've seen, its essence is in the knowledge and the fear of God, given that's what it is, wisdom is valuable for that reason alone. If to be wise is to have a knowledge of God, there's value in that in itself. To know God is not merely to have mental facts about God. It includes a relational knowledge with Him. So that in Scripture we see these relational terms. To know God is to know Him the way a husband and a wife know each other, the way a father and a son know each other. In fact, in Proverbs, wisdom itself is personified, as you have there in, for example, in 3:15. There, she's compared to a woman. She is more precious than rubies. All the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Wisdom is personified to show us this element of it, that there is a relational element to wisdom. And that is part of its value and profit. When you know God, you can hear beyond Solomon's words in verse 1, my son, you can hear the voice of God, the Father, to you, my son, my daughter. It's relationship, wisdom's person. That's a place of joy and life. To have Him is to have all. In fact, all the things that we'll see that wisdom is said to give, they're really things that God gives. For example, when you look at verse 7b to 8, where it says there, He preserves, or verse 8 says, well, let me begin, 7b, He is a shield to those who walk uprightly, speaking about God. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. When you look at verse 11, it says it's discretion, an element of wisdom, will preserve you. Understanding, another element of wisdom, will keep you. So what God is doing, verse 7 and 8, it said wisdom's doing in 11. So that's the first thing about the value of wisdom, wisdom's person. I want you to see also, secondly, wisdom's pleasure. Wisdom's pleasure. Look at verse 10. When wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. So there is pleasure and enjoyment in wisdom. God has made us to enjoy learning. There is joy in that. But given what we've said about wisdom, a large part of that pleasure is the knowledge and enjoyment of God Himself. Psalm 111 verse 2 says this, "Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them." So if we're thinking biblically, everything that we learn of this world is showing us something of the glory of God. And there is delight in that. That same psalm ends this way, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who practice it have good understanding. His praise endures forever." So then there's pleasure, there's enjoyment in wisdom. This is part of the value of wisdom. Thirdly, sort of wisdom's direction. We're looking at the value of wisdom here. Wisdom's direction. Verse 9, "Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path." After you found wisdom, according to 1 to 4, these things, this is one of the things you will get, that wisdom will direct you in the right paths of life. Shows you the path of righteousness and justice and equity. Not just so that you may know it, but it directs you so that you walk in those paths of righteousness and goodness. Which is why I said wisdom is a blessing to others as well. When you're living in this way, you will be a blessing to others. It makes a righteous, loving person. Some of these words, righteousness, have to do, and justice, do have interpersonal human relationships are involved there. It makes a righteous, loving person who avoids the destructive paths of unrighteousness. Wisdom's direction. Fourthly, another element of the value of wisdom that we see in this Proverbs chapter 2 is wisdom's protection, or the safety that is to be found in wisdom. Wisdom protects, guards, preserves. Verse 8 again says, "He guards the paths of justice, preserves the way of his saints." If you were going through a city and there are these dangerous streets and you're trying to determine where you should walk, and then you were told, "There's this street. Yes, there are dangers. There may be dangers there, but there are these policemen there with guns blazing to protect anyone passing by." That's where you want to go, right? Well, the way of wisdom, the way of righteousness, the highway of holiness is guarded by the God of the wise. What does wisdom protect from? We look in here at wisdom's protection. What does it protect from? First of all, yourself and the evil that you could do. Verse 12 to 19, there we see how wisdom protects, delivers, rescues from tempters. But when it says it will deliver you from the way of evil, verse 12, is it not talking about you getting into that way and walking in it? The reason temptation works at all is because we go into it, we yield to it. But wisdom will protect you from yourself and the sinful choices that you could make by giving you the preservative of the fear of God. So wisdom protects from yourself. It also protects from tempters. Look at verse 12 there to 14. There's two tempters in this passage. There's the bad man tempting to evil in verse 12 to 14. It says there, Wisdom will deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked. So wisdom protects you from men of perverted speech who walk in darkness in this way, who entice to evil. Perhaps it's the same picture you have in the first chapter of Proverbs, verse 10 of chapter 1 says this, "My son," oh, and if only we would pay attention to this, especially in our younger days. "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us,' let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause." You see, this is a man who is calling another, saying, "Hey, come do evil with us." And how big this is, especially when we're younger, peer pressure pushing us in the wrong direction. It says here, wisdom will protect you from such tempters. But it also tempts from the bad woman who is tempting to sin and evil. Look at verse 16 to 19. "To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flutters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life." There, wisdom will protect, will keep a man from such a woman. This bad man and this woman are alike in some ways. They both use words to entice to evil. But wisdom will give you discernment to not heed the calls of either of them. Immoral woman there in the original, sometimes the strange woman. And some suggest they call strange because initially it would have been foreign women. But also it's because she's not yours. She's foreign to you. She's not given to you by God in covenant. So she does not belong to you. She's not in covenant with you. And so you have no business with her. Wisdom teaches that and protects you from such a woman. She forsakes the companion of her youth, it says. She's a woman who has broken her marriage covenant, her covenant with her husband and or her covenant with God, perhaps, pictured as a marriage. She's forgetting her relationship to the Lord as well. But wisdom will show you and save you from the ultimate consequences of sin. It says there that her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. Wisdom will show you that the house of such a woman has no floor. You open the door, you step in, and you fall down into the bottomless pit. Her paths, her house leads to death, nor do they regain the paths of life who go in her way. What a profit from wisdom, that it protects from such a temptation. To put it in modern terms as well, some of the dangers in our day, wisdom protects, will protect from pornography and sin of that kind, from this kind of woman. "None who go to her return." She sounds nice. She may look nice. She has ruined many. She kills people. Proverbs 9:18. "He does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol." But wisdom, part of what wisdom will do, will give you the discernment to see where this will lead, and will give you the preservative of the fear of God, and keep you from going in that direction. The first time the fear of God is spoken of in Scripture is in the incident where Abraham is among, I believe it's either with Pharaoh or with Abimelech, I forget which one. But it says there that Abraham realizes that these people will take his wife if they realize that's who she is. And so he lies that it's her sister. And he gives a reason there. He says it's because there's no fear of God among these people. And so they will take my wife. Because he knows it's the fear of God that keeps from going down this way. And we may add also, wisdom will be a shield against Satan's devices. It protects you from Satan. Why? Because all these temptations, though Satan is not mentioned here, he is behind temptation. He's the chief tempter. But the humble wisdom of James 4, verse 6 to 7, will shield from Satan. James 4, 6 to 7. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wisdom also protects, thirdly, from God. That may be surprising to hear. I'm referring to verse 22, the last verse of the chapter, where we read that the wicked will be cut off from the earth. Now, who is doing the cutting off? It's the Lord in judgment. The wicked will be cut off. The Lord will do it. And so wisdom, walking in the way of wisdom, will protect you from that final judgment and bring you safely into glory. I say that because of 21. The upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. I may have had a reference to the physical land in Israel, but ultimately it's a pointer to that place, the new heavens and the new earth, where righteousness dwells and no unclean thing shall enter. Wisdom protects from God and brings you safely into glory. That's the value of wisdom then. We've seen wisdom's person, wisdom's pleasure, direction, protection, safety. Third heading, the path to wisdom. If wisdom is so valuable, if this is how precious wisdom is, how shall you and I gain wisdom? What does this passage tell us about how to gain wisdom? First of all, recognize the source of wisdom. Recognize the source of wisdom. That's wisdom's from God. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So when you realize that, that will determine how we seek wisdom, right? When we know that God is the source of wisdom. And there are things that we are called to do here, things that imply effort, but we have to understand, first of all, that wisdom is a gift from God. We have to begin there. Wisdom is one of God's essential attributes. He is the all-wise God. In fact, Christ, the Son of God, is called the wisdom of God. Proverbs 8, though it is speaking figuratively there, I believe that there is representation there of the Son of God who is with the Father. And so as we seek wisdom and do it by listening to God, as we'll see, we have to begin by hearing the Son who is the Father's chief communication or revelation to us. This is my Son. Listen to him. That's where wisdom begins. He is the Word. In him, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom. Without him, we cannot come to know God at all. No one has learned to fear God without beginning with Christ, the Savior. Wisdom in chapter 8 of Proverbs speaks in verse 36, whoever finds me, it's wisdom speaking, personified, says, wisdom says this, whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Couldn't that be Christ himself speaking? You can hear the words of the Lord Jesus there. Those who hate me love death. He who fails to find me injures himself. So the source of wisdom is God. And primarily, we have the wisdom treasured up in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when it goes on to speak here about hearing the Word, we have to begin there. Hearing the Son, who is himself the Word incarnate. Otherwise, you search the Scriptures in vain. And the veil still remains without the Lord Jesus. But what are we to do then in pursuit of wisdom? How are we to pursue wisdom? First, I'll put this in terms of our various body parts as I see it in this chapter. First of all, we're to do it with our ears. With your ears. See, wisdom comes from God through His Word, and therefore we need to listen to God's Word, right? That's how this proverb begins. So go into the beginning verses. My son, if you receive my words, that's where it begins. So are you one who is seeking wisdom? Wisdom that's so valuable, that's so precious. Are you one who is listening to the Word of God, reading it, hearing it from teachers, reading it, conversing with the saints, seeking even to talk with the older saints, paying attention? It says there that we're to incline our ears, verse 2, to wisdom. There's an attention, there's a listening, there's an attitude there that's needed to gain wisdom. So I ask you, what is your attitude towards the Scriptures, towards the Word of God? Now you're saying with Samuel, speak, Lord, your servant is hearing. I need your wisdom, Lord, show me, teach me. So we seek wisdom with our ears, but we also seek wisdom, secondly, with the whole heart. With a whole heart. Verse 2, the end of verse 2, apply your heart to understanding. So this is a wholehearted pursuit that's called for, to seek wisdom, to find wisdom. Those people who are rushing to go find the gold, they were in it with their full heart, right? They were committed, they were determined. We're going there. We're leaving the East Coast. We're going to California. It's a small place. Nothing much happens there. That's what it was back then. But we're here. There is gold. We'll go. We're committed. So we seek wisdom. We are to seek wisdom with our whole heart because it's worth it for all of those benefits. Wholehearted, earnest, sincere, eager, serious to find wisdom. We also seek wisdom with your mouth. Seek wisdom with your mouth. Look at verse 3. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, it says, you will find wisdom. And this, I believe, is a reference to prayer. And so have you ever prayed for wisdom like that, for insight, for understanding? I think you would be in keeping with this verse if you were to go out in the woods sometime this week and just do what it says. Lord, give me wisdom, give me discernment, give me understanding. Cry out, lift up your voice, call. Call on the Lord. You see, there are promises given to prayer for wisdom. One of my favorites, Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call to me, and I will answer thee, and I will show you great and mighty things which you have not known. What a promise. So seek it with your mouth in prayer. Fourthly, seek it with your eyes. Seek it with your eyes. It says there in verse 4, to seek her as silver. There is a looking out. You're watching. You're seeking. You're searching. And so it's good and right to observe what passes around us, even in God's providence, and seek to learn from that. Searching, looking, being on the lookout to gain wisdom. Lord, what do you have for me today? What do you have to teach me today as I go about my work, about my day? What is it that I can learn, Lord? Observe creation. Proverbs later on says, go to the ant, calling us to look at God's creation. Much wisdom to be learned there as well. So we do it with our eyes as well. But finally, we also seek wisdom with our hands and feet. With our hands and feet. I say this because of verse 7 where it says, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. And I believe there's an implication there that the upright are taught wisdom. Yes, they are upright as a result of wisdom, but they're also walking in this upright way, and the Lord is giving them wisdom, is teaching them. And so the point I want to make here is that we seek wisdom and we grow in wisdom as we practice what we know. Our hands and feet seek to walk in the wisdom that God has already given you, and more will be given. Let your feet take you where wisdom may be found instead of to the place of sin. Set your feet on wisdom's way, on the path of righteousness, and you will find more wisdom. So we've considered then the nature and the value and the path to wisdom. And so in conclusion here, do you see the value? Do you value it in this way? Do you consider it as greater treasure than gold and silver? If you're not a Christian, become a fool. Become a fool. Those are the words of 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. It means consider what you have, wisdom of this world, as foolishness. It goes on in verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So lay aside that and seek the wisdom that is in Jesus. God has divined a wise way to save sinners. It's called the gospel of Jesus. It's a wise way how God is both just and merciful in forgiving sin because Jesus died for sinners. And so, and if you're a Christian, praise God because you have Christ and therefore you have wisdom. He is our wisdom. He is our wisdom, but we can grow yet more, right? Let's apply ourselves to the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell richly in us, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another as well, that we may grow in it so that we can live for the glory of God and for the blessing of both ourselves and for others. Let me close with the words of Romans 16:25. Now, to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that had been kept secret for long ages, but now is disclosed and through the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all the nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be glory forever. Amen.